Wrestling Show, baby. Wellbo, welcome back to the Wrestling Show. I'm your most fickle host, Lip Hazleywood, and this is a very cynical look back at representing the WWE and live from the Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. It's the NXT, air date June the 20th, 2023. This episode is week one of the Gold Rush. That's right. Now, before we get into the show, just a quick shout out to the non-competitors first. Now, representing. He is a man. The man of the NXT. He makes all the decisions. He strips belts when he needs to. He is Shawn Michaels. That's right. Remember, you can't say his name without having his theme music played. It's just not right. And next, getting all the backstage scoops and all the backstage interviews or pre-match interviews is Mackenzie Mitchell. And of course, last but certainly not least, it's the commentary crew. It's the play-by-play guys, the hosts, and I even call them the narrators of the whole damn show. They're the team of the two-time Hall of Famer. That's right, two-time Hall of Famer. And the man with the champagne wishes and the caviar dreams. Some may know him as Booker Two Scoops on the street, but we all know him as Booker T. And of course, backing him up, it is the voice of reason. He is the very reliable and I guess a tippity top commentator on his own right. It's Vic Joseph. Now, without any further kadoos, let's get the show started with this theme song. Let's go.
And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three. Lip really loves wrestling. He likes to talk about it too. If you like to watch wrestling like he do, come and join us on the Wrestling Show. On the wrestling show, baby.
Now, we start the show with a massive North American championship match. Now, defending his North American title, it's one of the great champions of all time. He is currently, I think he's probably the best, one of the best champions in the WWE. It is Wesley. And of course, challenging Wesley for his title, it is the Swami, the Guru. And wanting to be his best friend, it's Tyler Bate. And reffing this match, the referee for this match, special guest referee. And I guess it's from new free agent, Mustafa Positive Ali. Now, Mustafa helped out Wesley a couple weeks ago, and he just stuck with him. Like, Mustafa's been riding Wesley's, his coattails for a couple weeks now. So we all know there's going to be some nefarious intentions, and Mustafa's being the guest referee in this match. Mm-hmm, it's true. Now, this match here was approximately 13 minutes in length. This was a barn burner. This could have been a knuckle duster. This could have been a match of the night, but it was not. This was not the match of the night, although it had all the makings of a great match. A lot of back and forth. This was a lot of entertaining. A lot of high-flying moves. This was great. Two top-tier competitors fighting to start off NXT. You know, Gold Rush. Now, Mustafa Ali made his point clear how he was going to make the match. Now, it was just very obvious. Now, what exactly was the intentions of Mustafa Ali? Now, we had a pinning sequence here. Mustafa made his point clear, like, yeah, he's doing fast counts. But is he doing fast counts on everybody or just one person? No. Everybody's getting a fast count at the beginning. I thought, okay, if it's fast count and no one's getting the advantage or disadvantage, it doesn't matter. And then they do a pinning sequence again. Mustafa Ali, his count is much slower now on both of them. So I'm like, okay, it makes no sense, but whatever. Whatever, you're causing controversy, and I guess that's what it is. But, like I said, this match was good, regardless of what Mustafa was doing in his own world. Now, we got a point here where Wesley is trying to put Tyler Bate away with his massive cardiac kick. Now, Wesley goes to his cardiac kick. Tyler Bate moves out of the way. However, he didn't just move out of the way. He started his big move in his springboard lariat, where he jumps headfirst into the ropes. You know, and then he springboards off of it, spinning around, lariating the hell out of Wesley. That doesn't end the match, though. However, this match carries on. It gets strange why I say this, because they fight for top rope supremacy. And next you know it, it is they bop and bang each other. Bop and bang each other. Now, if you don't know what bop and bang is, it's Tyler Bate's move where he puts bop in the air with one hand, goes in the air, he distracts the face. Hey, guy, look at me. Look at this hand up here. And then he punches you in the face with the other hand. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Now, from almost winning the match to now bop and bang to both of them off the mat, off the top turnbuckle. Now, Tyler Bate, he fell into the ring. Wesley fell out of the ring. Now, this is where it gets strange, like I say. I've been saying this strange and interesting because Mustafa Ali, he, instead of counting, he decides to take matters into his own hand. He chimes out of that ring there and he confronts Wesley. He talks, but he starts slapping him in the face. Slap, 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 slap. He tells him, you're the North American champion. You got to get in there. And he slaps him again. Like, wow, Mustafa, really? Really? That's not a positive attitude? Mustafa? Is this the real Mustafa? A real douchebag? So Mustafa then climbs in the ring there and tries to give the pep talk to, or talks down to, Tyler Bate. Say, Tyler, come on now. You're in a championship match. Get up. Don't be an idiot. Didn't really say anything like that, but he did try to get him on his feet again. Now, Tyler Bate, after just getting punched in the face, he fell into the ring. It seemed like Tyler Bate got hit by an automobile. It was in a car crash. He can barely stand up. He can barely move. And Tyler Bate just, he crawls up a little bit. And then that's where Wesley sets up his finishing move. That's where it is, the cardiac kick. Now, at the moment, when he was getting a cardiac kick started, it seemed Mustafa Ali was right in direct way of the cardiac kick. But when it ended, Mustafa was nowhere in the way. It was Tyler Bate getting kicked upon the head. Now, here's the thing. The final count was regular. 1, 2, 3, no problem. Now, the winner of the match is, and retaining his North American championship is Wesley, but taking his credit and spotlight, it is, of course, Mustafa Ali. Good work, guys! You guys are great. I'm the best. So yeah, Mustafa, I can definitely see this going on. They're like wondering what is going on with, Mustafa. Is he a genuine guy or not? Or just a phony, big old floppy phony. Big old floppity phony. But you know what? The fans want to love Mustafa. We do. But it's really difficult to do it. But you know, some people we just want to like, regardless of their personality is. And some people we just don't. So here we go. Speaking of situations, we got ourselves a Kiana James being interviewed by Mackenzie Mitchell. And the whole thing's about... Now, before this interview thing, we had a little vignette by Gigi Dolan talking about her rough childhood, her upbringing, not being able to rely on anybody. Stuff like that. You know, she's got to work herself. She's got to make herself. Regardless. So she goes... with Kiana James after that, and Kiana really does not like Gigi Dolan. It is weird. She's got the same hatred to Gigi as, JC Jane did to Gigi. And I think it's this. Gigi Dolan, let's face it, she is a very sexy woman. She's got the curves. She's beautiful. She's sexy. She's the sexiest woman of the NXT, and I think the women are just the insecure ones. They're just a little bit jealous. Or they just might be in love. Anyways, love does crazy things to somebody. They does crazy things. And speak of crazy things, we go into the ring. It's with the Chase U You know, and it's a big pep rally for Thea Hale, being hosted by none other than the MVP of Chase U. It is Duke Hudson. And I figured, will Andre Chase be around? He is not. He is not around. But Thea Hale does have a speech. She thanks a bunch of people. She thanks especially one person, first of all. It's Mr. Chase. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, he's been mentioned theoretically. But there's no Andre in the name, as I guess, because Andre, you can't say Andre Chase anymore because he's no longer part of the NXT. I truly believe NXT has dropped Andre Chase. Andre Chase, he's done what he had to do. He created something that's bigger than him. And once once the WWE realized that we don't need Andre Chase anymore, we got Chase U, baby! I personally think that. Although he could theoretically, he could be legitimately injured and he could be sitting at home right now watching and waiting to come back. But I don't think that's going to happen. Regardless of me thinking what or not, she thanks Chase, Mr. Chase. Thanks Duke Hudson. Thanks Drew Gulak. And of course, Charlie Dempsey. Thanking them all in the ring there. Now here comes that one thing. Tiffany Stratton, she comes down to the ring there looking absolutely, she's looking very good. Yeah, she's a very pretty woman, very gorgeous, but, doesn't have anything gone to Gigi. Regardless, no, not talking about Gigi here. So, it's Tiffany Stratton talking down to Thea Hale, and you know what? You have no chance of winning next week against me. And as a matter of fact, she says not just winning, but you will never make me submit. She says, you will never make me submit. So then, with that said, Thea Hale gets all nuts. She jumps on top of Tiffany Stratton and puts on the hammerlock. Right onto, Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton taps out within seconds. It's a thing to come. I doubt it. But regardless, it's weird. Tiffany Stratton tapping out so fast. And Thea Hale looking like a champ. Grabbing that belt. Tucking in her tuck position. I'm the next champ. I don't know. All I know is this, Thea Hale, she is definitely, she's the most charismatic wrestler in all of wrestling. Not just woman. She's the most charismatic person in wrestling. Not just the WWE, the whole shebang, the whole kit and caboodle. Mm-hmm. But then again, she's got 19-year-old energy. And that's the whole thing. It's like, if she wins it, she will be the youngest champion in wrestling history to be the women's champion. Mm-hmm. Thea Hale, right after high school, she's going straight to WWE to become a champion. If you know what you want to do, you go chase your dreams. And speaking of chasing dreams, we got ourselves a little skizzy situation. A little skizzy situation going on. You know, there's a rift in a skiz. Joe Gacy losing all the time. You know, Rip Fowler, sick of it. Yeah, it's your fault. It's your fault. And then Joe Gacy comes in at 100%. You're absolutely right! Oh, you're right! Oh, it's my fault! Oh, I'm Joe Gacy! Ah! It's so ridiculous. Joe Gacy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so that's the riff. I think Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed are going to become grizzled veterans again. Grizzled young veterans again. This time, a little bit more older. Mm-hmm. But it is Ava Rain. She's sticking up for her man, Joe Gacy. Joe is a good guy. He means well. I think she cried too. She cried for Joe Gacy. Can they get on the same page? I don't know. But I find Joe Gacy, he's a lot like the band Dexy's Midnight Runners. I don't know if you ever heard of Dexy's Midnight Runners, but they never had a look. They always changed their look, but they're the same band. But they always had, you look at them and said, who the hell are they? They're the Dexy's Midnight Runners? Yeah, and this is Joe Gacy. You can't find who is Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy's the king of gimmicks, that's for sure. He tries to find the next gimmick and ride that tide, baby. Okay, enough with that. Moving on. We got ourselves what's left of Diamond Mine. That's right. It is Brutus and Julius Creed and Ivy Nile, and they're talking to talk. They're just getting together. They're having some fun. Doesn't matter. And they're talking about their potential intergender match with the Schism. Perhaps. I don't know. Or maybe Ivy Nile is going to be fighting. Who knows? Who does? It doesn't even matter. Doesn't really matter if Ivy Nile fights Ava Rain. All I know, if they do, it will be a match not worth watching. It will be terrible. That's right. Terrible. Because I don't have much faith in both of their skills. Mm-hmm. Okay, next up. Speaking of terrible. Oh my gosh, this one was the thing. This was the thing. This was a six-man tag. Or, you know, a six-man tag, which is basically a triple threat tag match. A triple threat tag match. More of a triple threat. Because there's three people in the ring at all time. One person representing each team member in... one teammate representing each team in the ring at the same time. This was... Now, granted, when tags were used, the ropes were used. I mean, this is a clean tag match. But with that said, this is also... a wrestling stunt show at the same time. This was a bunch of nonsense. It was a lot of fun, but this was truly was a bunch of nonsense. Because when there's more than two people in the ring at the same time, it just gets nonsense. Nonsensical. A lot of fun, but it's a stunt show. Straight up stunt show, not a competition, a competitive, you know. So yeah, we got a moment here where all six of them are fighting. We got Josh Brooks and Brooks Jensen. They have... Tank and Hank on the ropes. They slide out of the ring. They're going to do their, oh, I'm going to double punch you guys in the face. They get out the ring there, and then it's Idris Nofay, Malik Blade. They jump over the top. Tope Suicida squashing, you know, Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. Not to mention that, Hank and Tank, they get up and they do the Vader bombs on top of everybody outside of the ring. That's right. It was a wrestling stunt show, period. Now we get to the end part. End part of the match. It is, we got ourselves, Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs setting up Tank Ledger for the heart attack. The heart attack, which is, if you don't know what the heart attack is, it is the Heart Foundation's finishing move. You know? So yeah, it is a clothesline from hell and being held up by, as a waist lock held. Anyways, it's done. And after that, Brooks Jensen, he jumps over the top rope and takes out Hank Walker. So now inside the ring, it's Josh Briggs going for the pin. And then it's, Idris Inofe jumping up top, breaking the pin. Malik Blade going off the second other rope there, you know, on the other side of the ring. And then going for the massive froggy splash, hitting Tank Ledger. 1, 2, 3. This match was over in 11 minutes and 15 seconds. This was a lot of fun. This was a bunch of nonsense, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Nonsensical fun. Okay, now we move on. Backstage. It's with the Gallabagook. The Gallus Boys. That's right. The tag team champions. Marcus Coffey and Wolfgang. And the little big man himself. Joe Coffey. That's right, little guy with his little fussy hair, his messy hair. Oh, I'm Joe Coffey, look at me! Blah, 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 blah. God damn, he's so annoying. He's like a slightly larger Rockstar Spud. He's like a slightly larger Rockstar Spud. Anyways, it comes down to this. Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, they come out there. It's like, you're lucky we weren't in that thing. That tag nonsense back there. We would have won and we would have creamed you. It's incredible. Now, Angel and Humberto, they're cruiserweights. But these two, compared to Joe Coffey, saying there, these guys dwarf Joe Coffey. It is weird looking. Joe just looks extra small. Extra small. You know, all proud.
Oh, I'm Joe Coffey. Look at me. I've got so much attitude.
Yeah, whatever. As you can tell, I'm a massive Joe Coffey fan. Massive! And speaking of massive, we got ourselves a little thing. It's, Eddie Thorpe and Damon Kemp for the rematch. I'm not looking forward to this. It is going to be a NXT Underground match. An NXT Underground match. Now, this was a Shane McMahon thing. A Shane McMahon, when they had Almost watching the door.
I'm Almost. You cannot enter.
That was an absolute failure. A failure. It was so crappy. So I guess, you know what? Damon Kemp, he's a potato. What better match to have himself in is than a crappy potato match? So it's the underground match, if you don't know, it's just a wrestling ring without the ropes. So you can't throw someone against the ropes because they'll just fall out the ring. So yeah, it's going to be a grappling match. And I'm not looking forward to that. For sure not. Moving on. We find something happening on the sidelines there. Is Blair Davenport being attacked? Yeah, at least Blair's, they just push something over. Cling, 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 cling. You hear some sound and Blair's like laying on the ground. And some unknown woman, assailant, she's like, I'll get you. So yeah. So Blair attacked. And, you know, why not? Blair attacked other people. At least that's what they're saying she did. But I'm saying it's a rock. They slipped on a rock. We didn't see what happened. With, you know, a bunch of people. Bunch of people out there. You know, Nikita Lyons. You know, Wendy Chu. Haven't seen them two in a while. Wendy Chu and Nikita Lyons. Haven't seen them in a long time. Tripping over that rock. Whew. Wow, they ripped their, Regardless. We move on, and it's with Seth freaking Rollins backstage, baby. And he's introduced, and we got Nathan Fraser comes in there with his big Heritage Cup championship match where he won against Oro Mensah, who wasn't even the champion at the time. And Seth's like, hey, good work. I'm really proud of you. Really proud of you indeed. Now, pay it forward. And then we got ourselves a little bit of Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams get in there with, Seth Rollins. Seth playing with them a little bit, but they're in good terms. It's good. Champion and champion. A little bit of, a schmooze fest back there. Good. I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. A little bit of respect thrown both ways in this situation. And speaking of such, I don't know. We got our next match. And this match was, this was a women's division match. And I got to say, oof. It is Dana Brooke trying to revitalize her career. Trying to revitalize her career because it's in the main roster. It's going nowhere. Nowhere. It's been nowhere for a long, long time. She's been a 24/7 champion, but who cares? Everybody's been a 24/7 champion. Santa Claus was a 24/7 champion, you know? So anyways, it's Dana Brooke. Now, earlier, Mandy Rose, she came from the main roster. She was floundering in the main roster, and she went to the NXT division, and Mandy Rose flourished. She became the greatest women's champion ever. Now, I'm thinking perhaps Dana Brooke thinks she can do the same thing, but it's Dana Brooke. She spent way too much time in the main roster to do anything in the NXT. I think so. I think, what does Dana Brooke think she's doing? I think Booker T is wondering the same thing. What is she doing here? You know? And this match, how about this match? It's Dana Brooke versus Cora Jade. Now, Cora Jade, she's got some good mic skills. She's got some great mic skills. Face it, she's got good mic skills. But when it comes to wrestling in that ring, Cora Jade is nothing but good intentions. She can't string together a good match. It is impossible for Cora Jade to string together a good match. I mean, when Cora was with, Roxanne Perez, Roxanne is a architect of wrestling. She knows her shit. But having Cora Jade and Dana Brooke in a match, I'm thinking, wow, this can't be good. This can't be good. Nothing but good intentions. And it was a really lame match. It was lame, baby. We got a moment here where Dana Brooke, she does a handspring. She goes handstand and she hits those ropes. And it's Cora Jade in the wrong spot. She's got to find, where are you? And she's got to literally aim her head in between the legs of Dana Brooke. It was so weird and depressing. Like this match, this is sad. This match needs to be like a lights out match. It's got to be something that like on location, do a vignette match, like a Jeff Hardy compound match, you know, where they can just wrestle and then they can cut it up like a movie and just like show what they would need to show up. Edit out the errors and Anyways, this match again. We got a moment where they're outside. Dana Brooke is coming in the ring. She gets hung up on her ropes. It is so weird that she can't get in the ring. She's like, she's flopping around like a flounder. It was weird. Oh, it's so bad. So bad. And then They fight on. Dana Brooke does this backhand spring move, and she pulls a perfect Cody Rhodes and leg trope, where her leg's like, no, my leg, and she's crying and whining, and the referee's like, what's wrong? And she's holding, you know, Cora Jade back. It's so ridiculous. People get injured in the match. You carry on. This match is dumb. So he holds Cora Jade back, and he calls over the medics, and they take the, you know, Dana Brooke away on a stretcher during the commercial break. And after the commercial break's done, you know, because they're stretching the match as much as they can, it's, I guess Dana Brooke had enough of the jaw-jacking of Cora Jade, and she pops right off that stretcher. Good as new! So ridiculous. So he starts fighting more. They fight more. They fight a lot more. You know, I'm surprised this match did end up being 11 minutes. Almost 12 minutes, listener. Or viewer. Now, Dana Brooke does get some work in, but everybody's just... they're just over Dana Brooke. No one's on Dana's side. Well, maybe a few people. But in general, she's over. You know, not over as in she's gone over. She's just... it's... okay, so we got a point where... finally, Cora Jade gets advantage, takes advantage of, you know, what's that, Dana Brooke's knee, and she gets a half crab onto Dana Brooke. Dana's like struggling, can't get to the ropes. And the fans like saying, tap, just tap out already, just tap out. She's not tapping. She gets dragged into the middle of the rope ring again, and then she's still not tapping, you know. But the referee decides, oh, I'm going to stop it myself. This is ridiculous. I'm going to give it the fans want. And they want this match to end. So he ended it. Now, he had no right to do it. They said, oh, yes, it's up to ref's discretion because for the wrestler's own good. I'm sorry. No, that never happens. The referee, when a move's done, if the wrestler can't handle it, they pass out. And the referee lifts up their arm and they drop it. And a lot of times the wrestler is like, no, I'm not done yet. Oh, I can carry on. This match was a bunch of nonsense, and it should never have happened. Should never have happened. Moving on. We go on to the big old thing with Robert Stone and Von Wagner. Now, it's the whole thing is about what happened with Von Wagner as a child. Because he's got a picture with a massive zipper scar right across his head. Now, my theory was Von Wagner had a twin brother in utero. When they were born, Von Wagner had a brain problem. His brother had a body problem, and they had to do a brain transplant, giving Von Wagner his brother's brain. That's what I thought. Hey, I'm wrong. Who knew? Apparently, Von Wagner had a symptom. Now, I couldn't get the exact name of it, but it's called the solid state skull syndrome. When he was a baby, now when you're a baby, you get plates in your head, and it's put together with the cartilage, and it's so your brain, your head can expand to proper size. But apparently, Von Wagner's head was solid rock, and they had to open up his skin and cut open his skull cavity so then his brain can grow. His brain can be a growing brain once again. So that explains Von Wagner and his brain issues. So moving on, we got ourselves a little bit of the Eddie Thorpe and Damon Kemp. That's right. Now, last week they had a match and it was nonsense. You know, both low impact wrestlers. It ended with Eddie Thorpe with his, trip, a German trip suplex. I call it German trip because there's no height on this. A German trip suplex, Damon Kemp over. Damon had his foot on a rope. It just landed on the ropes. Rep didn't see it and then he's all upset. This week, now it's like, what's that? No, okay. They're getting ready for the match. I've already talked about that. So it's after the thing, it's, Eddie Thorpe. He bumps into Gable Stevenson. That's right. Gable also with the Damon Kemp line. They're both mixed martial artists. And Gable Stevenson says, hey, you want to train with me? I'll train with you, baby. So yeah, looks like Gable Stevenson is helping out Eddie Thorpe with his training against, Damon Kemp with that ridiculous, NXT Underground match, the Underground style. Okay, with that said, we move to the ring, and it's with a face-to-face for next week will be a championship match, a world championship match of NXT. And we have ourselves a Baron Corbin with Carmelo Hayes. Now, Baron Corbin, no one cares about Baron Corbin, you know? Baron Corbin, he gets all his ideas off, social media. He said, well, dude, no one likes this. I'm going to do it. That's my hack. It's not working. Baron, you've won really nothing important. A belt. So it's hilarious. Baron Corbin really trying to tear down Carmelo Hayes, saying he's been there for 8 years. Now, here's the thing. Carmelo Hayes could have easily buried Baron Corbin. Easily. I mean, he said that he mentioned happy Corbin. He didn't say sad Corbin at all. But oh my goodness. He said left so many things out. And maybe it's the best, because he didn't want to totally crush Baron Corbin's soul inside that ring. He wants to save that for next week. But yeah, the last word came from Baron Corbin. He said some nonsense, which doesn't really matter, because everything Baron Corbin says, it's just basically just hypocritical, you know? He says Carmelo Hayes is insignificant. Why, Baron Corbin, aren't you insignificant? Isn't that why, I don't know, John Bradshaw Layfield, I didn't want any part of your stupid storyline? It's like, why am I with this joke? This idiot. This maroon. So yeah, so Baron Corbin is in there just like Apollo Crews was in the NXT. Again, he's just to make Carmelo Hayes look like a champ, look like a boss. But you know what? Baron Corbin, his NXT matches were good. I'm not a fan of Corbin, never will be. But who knows? But who knows? I'm as fickle as anything. I'm a fickle son of a gun. Okay, now with that, we go backstage, and it's with a little bit of the Valentina Feyose and her tag team partner, Yulisa Leon, together again in the NXT. It was Yulisa Leon. She was out for a little while with an injury. But she's met up with the new. He's in no rush. But it's Dragon Lee. You know, he's on board with the train to Yulisa Leon and Valentina Feyose. And we got ourselves a little bit of Nathan Fraser thanking them. Thank you for helping me win my cup. So here's the thing. We got something here now. It is a little bit of a four team now. Is this another faction? Valentina Feyose, Yulisa Leon, Dragon Lee, and Nathan Fraser. Just a matter of what are they going to call themselves. Now they can fight, what are they called? The Metaphor? Huh? You know? It's Noam Dar's team. Noam Dar. Anyways, moving on. We got ourselves a little bit of the a competition here. After that, it's Nathan Fraser. He's so happy beating Seth Rollins. He says, time to pay it forward. It's like, how would you like to have a chance at my Heritage Cup, Dragon Lee? Oh, would I ever? What an honor. So this is a friendly competition at its finest. So we're going to see a great next week. It's going to be a Heritage Cup match between Nathan Fraser and Dragon Lee. It's going to be good. Both competitors are very good to watch. Very, very top-notch quamp competitors. And then we got ourselves another interesting situation. Leaving the NXT, the Performance Center, are Gallus, Joe Coffey, Marcus Coffey, and Wolfgang. But however, Joe Coffey gets a ring on his phone and he can't get in the car. He needs to answer this call. It's like, oh, you guys better go. I can't drive. I can't sit in the car. Well, answer the phone. No, I can't do it. So yeah, apparently Joe Coffey cannot answer his phone and sit in the car at the same time. Is some people have some handicaps in life. It's true. So while Joe Coffey's answering his phone, oh, attack. That's right, the underboss, Channing Stacks Lorenzo. See? He comes up, he slams the door on Joe, Mr. Joe, and then chucks him into the back of the trunk. He chucks him into the old back of the trunk technique. I mean, I'm not sure how many times, Chang Stax Lorenzo has to throw someone in the trunk to realize that it does nothing. I mean, after all, they tried to throw the Pretty Deadly in the trunk many times, and every time they escaped somehow. Every time they escaped. So, yeah, the escapable trunk he gets thrown into. So what happens with Joe Coffey now? Joe Coffey is a small enough guy. He's a petite enough man who can slide out anywhere. It's true. And speaking of such, we go to our next big match. Our next big match. And it's a tag team match. It was not good. This was it was a lot of fun. But it's the team of Yulisa Leon and Valentina Feroze versus the Meta 4. And it's a metaphor for the Meta 4. It's just really weird. Okay, so it's a Noam Dar's team, the Supernova 11. And representing the Meta 4, it's Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson. Now, before the match even starts, Noam Dar, they have the Heritage Cup stand outside the ring for some strange reason. Noam's like, why? Why? And then Yulisa and Valentina attack for no apparent reason. You know, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson. Sorry, Miss Jackson, that line's taken. So they eventually start to fight. And it was very average when they were wrestling, but it wasn't really the match in hand. It's all about the end sequence, and it was ridiculous. Ora Menza, now he tries to grab the legs. He tried to trip up Valentina Feroze. The referee didn't really see it, so Valentina says, no, no, no. She turns around. She jumps off on, she tries a high cross. Ora Menza. Oro catches her in his arms like, oh, this is the life! He puts down Valentina Feroze, and then it's Yulisa Leon. She does a massive over-the-top tope suicida. Now, these are the most dangerous of moves, over-the-top tope suicidas. But Yulisa Leon, she got good height. She got good distance. She landed really well. But yeah, when it comes down to the tope suicidas, over-the-top rope, for the women's division, I would think Yulisa is the only one that's doing the over-the-top rope tope suicida. So dangerous. But she landed it on top of Ora Menza. You know? Lyra Valkyria? She doesn't even attempt a tope anymore. He does a ridiculous feet first and catch yourself before you leave the ring. Yeah. Safety first, listener. Safety first. Or YouTube. Doesn't matter. Okay, now next time. After that, after big swash thing, Yulisa took herself out. Outside the ring. Valentina slides back into the ring there, trying to finish things off. And then when Valentina turns around, she gets face to face with Lash Legend's foot. Big pump kick. A pump kick. That was it. They couldn't even get together and to think about what can we do as a tangent move here? You know, something basic, something we can do as a team. The high low. Nothing. She might as well have just put a roll up. She might as well have just rolled up. You know, Valentina Feroze. That's how sad this ending was. But regardless, it's a big win for the metaphor. The metaphor. Metaphor is winning. Oh boy. But hey. Now next up, we got ourselves a main event match. The big main event match, which is the WWE Heavyweight Championship match, representing the champion, defending his gold. It is Seth freaking Rollins versus Braun Breaker. Now, this match here was the match of the night, period. This was great, considering it didn't have much competition. But this was approximately 16 minutes. 16 minutes. This was a barn burner. This was a knuckle duster. Knuckle duster. This was a great match. Now, this had it all. The beginning of the match was Braun Breaker just demolishing Seth Rollins. Now, Seth Rollins did get a couple of curbs. He did get a couple of coup de grace the other day. The day before, he got coup de grace three times by Finn Balor. So he's in a little bit of pain, so they say. But this match, the beginning, it showed. But eventually, Seth Rollins turned things around. Gets Braun Breaker outside the ring. to start his big sequence of triple tope suicidas. One, a two, and a three tope suicidas between the second and third rope. So yeah, Ulysses Lyon went more extreme than Seth Rollins. Can you believe it? How about that? So this match carries on. They had a huge moment. Braun, they're fighting outside. Braun Breaker gets super kicked and he falls down on top of the commentating table. After Seth Rollins clears it out, they set that up. Seth Rollins goes to the top rope and a massive froggy splash, right through Braun Breaker. Any normal time, this would be it. This would be game over. Inside the ring, pin, done. But nope, this match carries on. For another, 8 minutes, another 7 minutes. It's true. Now in this match, Braun Breaker, later on, he gets Seth Rollins into the Gorilla Press Power Slam, baby. That is a Braun Breaker finisher. But however, kicked out is Seth Rollins. Now they fight on some more. Seth Rollins turns the match around a little bit and gives Braun Breaker the pedigree. Now they say pets agree with pedigree, but I like to disagree with that one. But Braun Breaker gets a pedigree, but Braun Breaker kicks out that pedigree. That's right. They fight on for a little bit more. Eventually, Braun Breaker surprises Seth Rollins with the spear. One hell of a spear. Not a lame front bump spear, but a real edge-o-matic spear. You know? Brock Lesnar spear. Now, this is a big spear. But however, kick out again. Match carries on a little bit longer, not too much longer. Seth gets better of, Braun Breaker. Hits him with the curb stomp. And then Braun's trying to get back up, and then one more time. Curb stomp. Match was over. About, 16 minutes. This match was huge. And of course, Braun Breaker loses the match. It's tough, but is this the end of Braun Breaker, Seth Rollins? I call it no. It could be, but I hope not. Braun Breaker, I don't know. I thought there was a chance of Braun winning this. But I guess the proof is out there. He didn't. But after the match, it is a sneak attack. It's Finn Balor coming attacking you. Seth Rollins, Finn's got a big match. Finn are gonna get you all the time. Finn attacks Seth Rollins. He's got a big match at Money in the Bank. And I guess this is just trying to soften him up some more. Apparently, those three coup de grace didn't soften him up enough that Braun Breaker would win. I thought during the Braun Breaker-Seth Rollins match, Braun Breaker was going to be a winning situation. And Finn Balor coming in to thwart Braun Breaker's win so then he can, get the victory over Seth Rollins. I thought for sure a Finn Balor interference would have been in this match, but I was wrong. I was shocked. I couldn't believe this match ended clean. Anyways, that does wrap it up for this episode of NXT. And if you stuck around to the very end of this segment, this episode, I appreciate it very much. I hold a very special place in my heart just for you. So, of course, join us again next time when we cover the SmackDown. So, see you again. Louis Ooling, show, baby.